So, praise the Lord. Now, what are we going to share this morning? Jonah, maybe you should come and share with us the tree of life. You're right. The tree of life is right in the beginning of the Bible. But you know, the Bible also ends with a tree of life, right? We may not be conscious about it, but a tree of life is truly the way to live. There is no other way. Like the song says, eating is the way. Nobody can live without eating. Why did you come here so early in the morning? To have what? Breakfast. We start the day with a breakfast. And how did you end the day? With a dinner. Right. You're eating every day, because if you don't eat, you cannot survive. Eating is the way, right? Since you called him this morning, let us fellowship a little bit about that. The first thing that God commanded Adam and Eve, commanded man, after man was created by God, God did not build a cathedral. And says, come here to the cathedral, bow down and worship me. That is what people think in their natural concept concerning coming to God, right? Without a cathedral, they don't know what to do. Worship God, right? So you ask a Christian every Sunday, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to church. To church? You're going to church? What do you do there? You eat? No. You know what they're doing. But God did not build a cathedral for Adam and Eve and says, go there, sing, bow down, worship me. But who's going to give a message? Oh, Benson. But Benson wasn't there at that time. No, God built a wonderful garden called the Garden of Eden. For Adam and Eve to be there. What do you do in a garden?
Enjoy.
Enjoy, of course, especially if it's a fruit garden. So God desire for man to really enjoy. And this enjoyment is not so simple, because man is not simple. So the garden is beautiful. It's called the Garden of Eden. It means enjoyment, pleasure. So man is a being that knows how to enjoy, right? Aren't you happy you live in the Philippines, so many restaurants? And that's the main thing in the Philippines, right? Restaurants. Every weekend, maybe even every day, you like to go to a restaurant, and not just any restaurant, right? Janine. Janine is smiling, right? Of course, I'm smiling too. There's so many wonderful places, so many choices for you to go to eat. What about the squirrel? You know the squirrel. What about a possum? What about any animals? What about a dog? I know some of you have a dog, right? And it's becoming very popular. What do you do with your dog? Bring him to a dog restaurant? There is no such thing as a dog restaurant. The dog will just eat anything. Of course, if it is your favorite dog, you're going to buy steak for a dog. But what else? Nobody else could really enjoy more than a human being. It's amazing. So God made a garden and put Adam and Eve there. The garden was beautiful, definitely. Definitely beautiful. But right in the center of the garden, Jonah, or Jonah, what do you see there?
Two trees.
Why two trees? Why not just one? Of course, there are many, many other trees. And God told Adam and Eve, all the trees in the Garden of Eden, there must be a lot of wonderful fruits for you to eat physically, but particularly there are two trees. You're right, two trees. One is the tree of life. It's called the tree of life. And the other one is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So Adam was given, I wouldn't say a choice, because God warned Adam and Eve not to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Oh, I'm sorry, chapter 3. Let's go to Genesis. No, chapter 2, I'm sorry. Amen. So, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, verse 16, this is the first commandment given to Adam. Of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat, it's free. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. You shall surely die. But then you go further up, you can see that God planted a garden in verse 8. God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put men whom he had formed. So God made out of the ground every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Good for food. Because without food, you cannot exist. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. It's not just in the midst, but in the middle of the garden. You cannot miss it. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why did God put these two trees there? If you were God, of course you're not. You're a German from Germany. Would you put the two trees there, the two trees? Oh, which one are you going to plant there? He's wiser than God. Right? He's wiser than God. Why did you think God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there?
He wants us to decide for this life.
Didn't he know that the serpent would come and tempt man to eat the other tree?
He knew.
He knew. And if you knew, what would you do? Just plant the tree of life. But this is the mystery in the universe. Man is given a free will to choose. No other creature has a free will to choose. But man is very special. You choose. Why? Because there is a challenge in this universe. It is not written so clearly in the Bible because God didn't want us to know everything. But you can read Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, the pre-Adamic creation of God, that pre-Adamic age. The world is not created in Genesis chapter 2. It was a renovation, okay? So the pre-Adamic world, God has given it to the angels, the archangels, to rule. That's why you have to ask, where did Satan come from? Nobody else. A lot of people, they don't believe in God, but they believe, they are so afraid of demons. Well, if you don't believe in God, there shouldn't be any demons, right? But where did they come from? So, the Bible tells us in a very short, hidden way that the pre-Adamic age, God gave the rule to the angelic beings. And there were creatures in those times. Otherwise, what are the angels going to rule over? And the archangel, because he was so beautiful, wise, he became proud. And he wanted to be God. And he wanted to be even higher than God. Amazing. This is why many of the people in Israel, the ruler, they thought they are God. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was God, and he made a big high image and asked everybody to bow down to worship that image. He thought he was God. The Roman emperors, they all call themselves God. And even the Chinese emperors in the early ages, they were like God. And they thought they were God. Even Hitler in Germany, he thought he was God. He's going to build a millennial kingdom. He's going to build a 1,000 years kingdom. Can you imagine that? You think he can live that long? This is that evil thing that entered into man. When Adam made a wrong choice, sin entered. So everybody wants to be the president. Don't you want to be a president to rule over the Philippines? You want to be? Everybody wants to be, and they would do anything to gain that position. This is the fallen human nature. Not just the unbelievers, even in a church. Right? I'm an apostle. Huh? You all have to listen to me. That's your experience there, right? This is a terrible thing. So there was a conflict. You might ask, why didn't God just get rid of Satan, right? It would be very easy and simple. Wouldn't you do that, Marcus? How about you, Charlie? If you were God, what would you do with the devil? Right? So like I said, you're wiser than God. But no, God let him exist. It would be very easy for God to get rid of that little devil. Right? He didn't need a big hammer. Do you need a big hammer to kill an ant? Oh, there's an ant there. You go to the garage, get a hammer, and bang. You're going to destroy the floor, right? No, God could easily take care of him. It's gone. Why didn't God do that? Because God wants to use us to deal with that little devil. That's why Ephesians chapter 1 tells us, before even the foundation of the world, God has chosen us, man, to be his sons, to receive the sonship, to be holy and without blemish. This is a mystery. A lot of people could not understand that, because we are not God. We like to get rid of all your enemies, just like in a political world. And even in the churches today, oh, you don't agree with me? Get out of here. I'll show you the door. I'll throw you out of the window. Oh, in the Middle Ages, like I said, the Roman Catholic Church killed so many real Christians because they didn't believe in the Pope. They didn't agree with him. Yeah. Finish. Read your history. It was written very clearly. The Roman Church. How can the church be Roman, right? Is God a Roman? No, he's not. Definitely not. They massacred and killed more Christians than the 10th period of persecution under the Roman emperors. So, terrible. It is really terrible. We need to see there is a conflict in this universe, and God let him be. Because God wants us not only to be his children, but God wants to build his kingdom with us and to take the kingdom out of the hands of Satan so that the Lord will bring his kingdom down to this earth. This earth is a very unique planet in the whole universe. Would you like to live in the moon? No, there's nothing up there. Okay, you can build a city there. Maybe Elon Musk might do it. But you cannot do anything there. How about Mars? Until this very point, they didn't find anything out there. This earth is very unique. If you want to understand that, you should go to Job chapter 38. Shall we go there? I'm just giving you some information in the Bible to give us an understanding of what is, what had happened, what had taken place. Since you talk about the tree of life. Excuse me, my throat. I've been talking too much. That's why maybe Jonah should give a message this morning. The Lord answered Job because the friends of Job are talking nonsense. They think they're very wise, they talk nonsense. Oh yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, brother. Appreciate it. Out of the whirlwind, and said, who is this? The friends of Job, there were four of them, who darkens counsel by words without understanding. I got it, thank you. I'll just put it on the floor. We say a lot of things without understanding. A lot of people talk nonsense. The only book that really gives us the truth in the universe is this wonderful Bible, the Word of God, because God knows everything. A lot of theologians are talking nonsense. They darken counsels by words without knowledge. Now, Job, prepare yourself like a man. God challenged Job. I will question you and you shall answer me, okay? So please, you can question God anything. God is not afraid of your question, right? Because he's God. His wisdom is infinite. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? That was God's question to Job. And now I'm going to ask all of you, where were you when God laid the foundation of the world, of the whole earth here, the earth? People say the earth came into being by a big bang. Where did a big bang come from? You may say, somebody created an atomic bomb, a big bang. What happened if there's a big bang, like in Hiroshima? Huh? What happened, Charlie? It'll destroy everything. A big bang will never create anything, okay? Try it. Don't do it in your house. Go do it somewhere in my own volcano. There's a big bang all the time. And after big bang, what happened? What about Pinatubo? There's a big bang there, right? Destroyed everything. How can a big bang create the universe? Only a fool will believe that. I knew a wonderful Christian in Berkeley. He was an astrophysicist, a professor in the University in Berkeley. He was a very dear brother. I asked him, what about the Big Bang? He says, nonsense. It's nonsense. No real scientist will believe.
It's like that in a building. Do you really work? Huh? Oh, come on. Nobody designed this. No? Oh, come on. Believe me, I'm telling you. Don't believe me, okay? Nobody will ever believe that this building is. They need to be like that. Would you? How about our little friend here? Would you believe that? Of course, even he didn't that. But this earth is so wonderful, full of life. So beautiful. That's why you're taking vacation over here. The guy is dying, so beautiful. And nobody can sign it. We are fools. Nobody can do this. Who determines measurement? Surely you know that, do you know? Of course. Well, of course you know, right? Joe, you know, right? Oh, Charlie knows. No. Well, maybe Frank knows. Frank, you know?
Oh, Frank would definitely say, no, I don't know. Who stretched it? Who stretched the line upon it? My, there is even a measuring line. Every architect should know, right? If you build a house, you have to measure everything. Put it in writing. And when the person who built it must follow exactly the measurement. If you know how to build something like that, you think God doesn't know? He doesn't have a measuring stick. And to what were its foundations fastened? How come the earth is just existing in the air, right? In the atmosphere, floating? Who held it and who is holding it? How come the sun rises on time every morning? Can you imagine if the sun says, no, I'm not going to come out this morning. I need some rest. You'll be in trouble. Everything is so precise, more precise than the Swiss precision. That's why you have a watch. If God's creation is not functioning precisely, so punctual, morning and evening, the stars and the moon, everything and all these orbits and everything functioning so precise, you don't need a watch. You can't have a watch. But God made everything. You have to realize this. Why am I talking about this? We're going to talk about the tree of life. But here, who laid its cornerstone? Well, there's even a cornerstone. Because every measurement must be exactly according to that cornerstone. Otherwise, everything will be crooked. And can you imagine some people believe that the world is flat? You believe that? But here is the wonderful thing here. Verse 7, that's what I wanted to show you. When God is creating this earth, particularly this earth, because heaven was created first, then the earth. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy because it was so wonderful. The morning stars here are referring to the angelic being. So the angels were created first. The morning stars were shouting for joy. Now, do you think if God created a chaos and out of the chaos, gradually after a million years, it just, I don't know how it happens, and all of a sudden turned into a beautiful planet called Earth? You think that's the way God created? That's the way you would create, but let me tell you, even give you a billion years, you cannot make this planet like this. When the sons of God shouted for joy, these are the angelic beings. They are called the sons of God because God created them. Just like in the very beginning in the book of Job, chapter 1 and chapter 2. Right. Or who shut the sea with doors? Well, you probably didn't know that there are doors shutting the sea out there, otherwise you'll be in trouble. Otherwise there'll be tsunami every day. Big and small tsunami. You shouldn't live in Manila or Philippine Island, it will be flooded with water. The sea. God put a door and stopped that sea. He drew a line. He commanded the sea not to cross the line. If the sea crosses the line, you'll be in trouble. Who shut, right? The sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb, out of the sea, the wave will come out. And when I made the clouds its garment, and the thick darkness its waddling band, when I fixed my limit for it and set the bars and the doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no farther. That's why you have the seashores there. That's why you can go to Palawan without any danger. You can enjoy a vacation in Palawan, in Batangas. You're not afraid that a sea will come in, right? Now you know why everything was in place. When I said, this far you may come, but no farther. Wow. You remember when Jesus was on this earth? He commanded a storm to stop, and it stopped. Can you do that? You go to, where do you go, Jesse? To where? You go very often to the province, right? You, Jesse, right? Where? Samaria. Are you afraid the sea might come into Samaria? You have to appreciate God. Right. Yeah. So you can see, to make the long story short, God created everything. And the angelic beings were there before Adam. That is why God, and this is my point to share with you, this is why God gave the authority to rule over this earth before Adam. No wonder when Jesus came, he called Satan the ruler of this world. Well, since when did he become the ruler of this world? The prince of this world. Since when did he become the prince of this world? Who appointed him? It was God before he fell. So the reason why God did not destroy Satan, which is so easy for him, he could create him, he could destroy him anytime, okay? If you create something, you can also get rid of it anytime. Why not? We don't understand God, but the Lord God gave us hints because he wants us to do the job. This is why when God created Adam and Eve, he told Adam to have dominion and to rule over all of my creation. Now, there's a problem, because somebody was ruling before, and now you and I and we are supposed to take over. What's going to happen? Try to take over the Philippines. Huh, Charlie, we'll elect you. We'll appoint you. Would you like to do it? You know what's going to happen? You're going to be in big trouble, right? But God has already chosen men to rule. And this is very important for you to see. God's purpose is to build his kingdom now on this earth. You all know the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, who's going to do that? Another group of angels is going to do that. No, the angels' rule is passé. They failed. Otherwise, the angels may complain to God, well, you created us first. How come you let men rule? We should be the ruler, not Charlie. Well, God says, okay, you rule first. They failed badly, terribly. So now God came to his original plan. He chose man to rule, have dominion over all of my creation. You read Psalm 8. Somebody read Psalm 8. Charlie, yeah. I like Charlie. Psalm 8, okay. Psalm 8. Ah, it takes a long time for you to read, to find Psalm 8. Got it? Okay, good. Stand up and read it to us. Proclaim it to us. Just make believe you're Adam, okay? Created by God. Okay. Please.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth.
Right. Not in heaven, but on the earth. No problem, Abzel. Problem is here. Okay, good.
You have set your glory above the heavens. Mm-hmm. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Because of your enemies,
right.
That you may silence an enemy and the
enemy. There is an enemy, yeah? There is an enemy. Okay, who do you think this enemy is? You? No. You're not an enemy, right? There is an enemy. Okay, continue.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained.
What is man that you are mindful of him? You took so good care of him. Okay, continue.
And son of man.
That you have visited him, the Lord even came to visit us. He didn't come for the dogs and your pet, right? Jesse, you have how many dogs? Came to save your two dogs? Definitely not. He's coming here to save you and your family and all of us. He didn't come here to, on this earth to save the monkeys, right, Gigi, do you think? Definitely, he came here to save us. That's why we're here. Continue, please.
For you have made him a little lower than the angels.
Right, at first, because of the flesh.
You have crowned him with glory.
Crowned him with glory and honor, okay?
You have made him to have
dominion over the works of your hands. Who had dominion before that? Continue. Wow, not under Satan's feet. It would be terrible if all things are under Satan's feet. Now God wants to put all things under our feet. We are supposed to rule. Continue.
All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, that pass through the land.
Wow, okay.
So Lord, our Lord,
how excellent is your name
in
all the earth. This is God's plan. And now please go to Hebrews chapter 2. Okay, it's not too hard. Hebrews chapter 2. Yeah. Let me ask somebody else to read it. Who's going to read it? George, come on. Read it loudly, okay? You look for it. Good. Okay, read that verse again. It's very important. The world to come is when the Lord comes back, right? Okay. Yeah. Yes, read it loudly, completely, clearly, with expression.
For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak in subjection to angels.
In subjection to angels, no more. Angels, sorry, you're done, you're through. You have no more chance.
One testified, that was
David, who wrote the book of Psalms. Okay, Psalm 8.
What is man that you are mindful of?
What is man that you are mindful?
What is son of man that you take care of him?
You took care of him. Didn't God take very good care of us here? Go ahead.
You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor.
You are going to be crowned with glory and honor, okay? If you behave, right? If you believe and accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved, you receive his life, then you have the possibility to be crowned with honor and glory. And actually, this is your destiny. Go ahead.
And set him over the works of your hand.
Oh, okay.
You have put all things
under his subjection. Under his feet. Go ahead.
For that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him.
Wow.
But now we do not yet see all things put under him.
Right. Now. Now you don't see it because man is fallen. Hey. You cannot even control your little dog sometimes, right? Is your dog subject to you? So difficult. Okay. But we see Jesus. My goodness. Now you all understand why Jesus has to become a man to recover and fulfill God's plan with man. Man is so important that the Lord has to come to save us, to save mankind, and to recover our destiny. Your destiny is not to, I don't know what your profession, you like to be a doctor, an engineer, you want to be what? An architect, what do you want to build? Everything is built already. Too late. What do you want to build? And so what if you can build a building? That's not God's building. God wants to build the city of God, Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, whose builder and architect is God. We see Jesus crowned with honor and glory, now sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high. Thank you, George. Yeah,
that's good. Yeah.
See Jesus.
Who was made a little lower than me.
Becoming a man. To taste death. Now crowned with glory and honor. Thank you, George. That's good enough. The Lord did not just remain on the cross. He rose again. And not just to be alive again. He ascended and now sitting on the throne to rule. And when he comes back, he's not going to be just a redeemer. No, he already accomplished that. When he returns, he's going to be what? King of kings and Lord of lords. And if you read Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, today, sitting on the throne, he is the ruler over the kings of the earth. You may not see it, but nothing will happen without his will. Who is ruling over this universe, over the nations? You think the president, the chancellors? No. The Lord is the ruler over the kings of the earth. And he wants to make us kings and priests unto God. I think for the sake of some of the young ones, let us turn to Revelation chapter 1, okay? Let us read 5 and 6. The last part of verse 5, it says, okay, would you read it?
To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Period. And that's good enough, no? Isn't it good? He redeemed us, washed us from our sins, and you're very happy. And that's it. Continue.
And has made us kings and priests us, God and Father.
Wow. Are you happy just to be redeemed and your sins forgiven, washed? Isn't that good enough? No, the goal of redemption and salvation is to make all of us kings and priests of God. And if you go on to read chapter 5, verse 10, it says that we shall rule with him in heaven. No, it says here on this earth. That's the goal. That is the goal. So what is your Christian goal? Why are you saved? Why are you saved? All the Christians says to go to heaven. What are you going to do in heaven? Billy Graham says, I'm going to play golf there. Well, you can play golf here. You don't have to go to heaven to play golf. Right? All the golf balls will drop down from heaven. No. We are going to rule. We're going to be kings and priests unto God. And to rule with Christ in his kingdom 1,000 years. Blessed are those who overcome. And I will give him authority over the nations, and you shall rule over them with a rod of iron. That's God's promise to the overcomers and the church in Thyatira. The Lord is coming soon. Okay, what are you going to do when he comes? You tell me. And the next question is, yes, he wants us to rule, but are you qualified? Do you know him? Are you mature in life? Are you ready to rule? I suppose Karina the Lord says, rule over the Philippines. Now. Okay, Philippines is too big. What about rule over ASEAN? It's even difficult to rule over Pasig, yeah? Am I right? Frank, rule over Quezon City, yeah? You think it's easy? Oh, there's a lot of people that will rise up. I says, no, I don't want you to rule. I want to rule. But what are you going to do? Do you have an iron rod and smash them into pieces? The Lord says, you will rule over the nations with an iron rod, and you will smash them like a piece of potter, clay. You think it's easy to rule? You cannot even rule over yourself today, or your bedroom. Make your bed every morning. You cannot even rule over your bedroom. How are you going to rule over the Philippines? Am I right? Don't think it is easy to rule. And they shall rule on the earth. And that is why I share this. Why there are two trees now. Now you understand why there are two trees and why God let Satan still exist. A lot of people ask me, why? Just get rid of it. Who knows, there won't be any problem. Maybe there will be other, even more serious problems. But you know, first of all, God wants you to choose. You choose him, and you're going to be like him, rebellious against God. This is why people don't believe in God. They're atheists. Who's God? I am God. They want to be God. But praise the Lord, you chose God, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be your life. You have to choose. This is how big our God is. He gave you the free will to choose. This is a challenge. This is a challenge. On the other hand, it is God's wisdom. You have to be tested as a man. That's why you have to go to school. You have to, from kindergarten all the way, elementary school, high school, college. You need to grow, and you need to have a lot of things to learn. And you just learn not only for good things, you learn from the bad things. The challenges, hardship, it's good, it's part of life. Are you afraid of trouble? Trouble is good for you. Just don't be a troublemaker. But we all know that through hardship, through challenges, we grow. It helps us. Persecution is good for you. He says, amen, I hope so, right? And yet, nobody wants to be persecuted. We want everything to go smoothly. But if everything goes so smoothly, you will not learn so well. So you have to choose. That's why there are the two trees in the Garden of Eden. The tree of life, which signifies God to be your life. Man is created good, but not perfect. You still need the life of God within you to rule. Otherwise, you cannot rule. Impossible. That is why there is a tree of life, and Adam, if he listens to God and obey God and eat of that tree, then the life of God will come into him. Then he will be a good ruler. Then he'll be able to rule and to defeat the enemy. But the enemy is very clever. He came in first. Yeah. And he deceived Eve. Oh, you'll be like God, knowing what is good and what is evil. And God is jealous. He's afraid. You'll be like him. My goodness. How did Eve believe that? I don't know why. Maybe we will all believe the serpent, right? Because you know better now. You're looking back, right? Oh, I won't do that. Who knows you won't do that? How come now you know what is evil, but you still do it? Hmm? So without God's life coming into Adam and Eve, they still are not able to rule. So man's destiny is not just to be man. Your destiny is to become, firstly, son of God, a child of God. You must be born again. You think Adam didn't need to be born again? He's already created good, very good even. But he still needs the life of God. Otherwise, he cannot fulfill his destiny. You will be just a good man. But God cannot fulfill his plan with just a good man. So we need the life of God. That's why you have to choose that tree. That tree represents the life of God. And why a tree? Because you have to eat it. What does it mean, eating? What happens when you eat? You bring food into you. Yes. Without that wonderful eternal life, but that life coming into you needs to grow and mature. Don't just say, hallelujah, I'm saved, I have his life. But then, Paul says you're still babes in Christ after so many years. You did not grow. So Christians who are not growing in spiritual life, it's just like, Karina, you like your two daughters to be just babies. Oh, you say, I like them as babies because they're so cute. Cute. What are you going to do with cute people? If they're just cute. To display it in your house or something like that. Look at my two cute children. Do you prefer them to be mature and useful? To be a proper person? Or do you prefer for them to remain a cute baby? Right. In the Philippines, the whole population are cute babies. No, this is why I appreciate you singing that song, I'm sorry, the Tree of Life. I thought quite a few maybe friends of ours wouldn't know what are you talking about? And what are you singing about eating of the Tree of Life? So I thought, well, since you called that hymn, that song, we better go back to the Tree of Life. But today, you want to eat of the Tree of Life? You have to go to Revelation chapter 2. God promised the church in Ephesus, right, those who maintain the first love, the best love for the Lord, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the Tree of Life. That was in the paradise of God. It becomes a reward today. What was normal and should be normal in the Garden of Eden at that time now becomes a what? A reward to those who overcome. I will give to eat of the Tree of Life. So do you enjoy eating a Tree of Life? You enjoy a lot of food, good food in the Philippines. I lived in Fountain Valley. You cannot find a good Chinese restaurant there. So I've come to the Philippines to go to a good restaurant. But I don't care for that. The best food is the Tree of Life, the fruit from the Tree of Life. This is why in the Lord's Day morning, we fellowship about eating Christ. Eating Christ. And then at the very end, blessed are those who wash their robes. Some translation says who keep his commandment, that they may have the right to the Tree of Life. If you don't care for the Word of God, how can you eat from the Tree of Life? You cannot. And that you may enter through the gate, don't climb the wall, it's too high. Through the gate into the city of God. The heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the holy city. Zion, praise the Lord. That is the history of the Tree of Life. But unfortunately, Adam chose the wrong tree. So don't make the wrong choice today, okay? Those who are new or are friends, make the right choice, okay? Make the right choice. Then when the Lord comes, you will receive a wonderful reward. Blessed are those who overcome, and those who overcome will inherit all things. Praise the Lord. What you have today is nothing. Everything will be destroyed. Turn to ashes. then you'll inherit all things. You'll inherit all things. You will rule with Christ in his kingdom for 1,000 years, and then in eternity, in the heavenly holy city of Jerusalem, the universe will be yours. Okay? So eat from the right tree, right? Let's sing that song again before we close the meeting. Now I hope that you will appreciate it when you sing it. Okay? It's not a mysterious song, it is a wonderful song.